Welcome back to the Community Online Podcast. Remember, you can always find us on Sundays streaming live at communityonline.tv. We hope to see you there.
One of the most exciting and terrifying experiences you can have in life is when you go all in. When you throw caution to the wind, step out in faith, do something that demands wholehearted effort and high levels of risk. Going all in might have been when you signed that 12-month lease for your very first apartment, or put down your life savings to get a mortgage to buy your first home. Or maybe going all in for you is when you stepped up to the starting line for your first 5 or 10K or 26.2-mile marathon. You paid your registration fee, did your best to prepare, but now you're about to take those first strides. You were all in. For some, going all in might have been that romantic moment when you said yes to spending the rest of your life with the person you love. One of the most exciting and terrifying experiences you can have in life is when you go all in. A number of years back, my wife, Lisa, and our two kids, Graham and Chloe, made the decision to move from Naperville into the city to help start new churches in neighborhoods that desperately need a life-giving church like what we had experienced at Community in Naperville. And we felt like we were going all in. We knew this couldn't be a half-hearted effort, that it was risky for our family and would require more of us than we would have at times. But we did it anyway. And it was scary. There were times when I wondered what people would think. Our kids were just entering their teen years. We loved where we lived. This was a massive change. We called it an adventure. We believed God wanted us to do it. And it definitely felt like we were making the choice to go all in. We continue our series today, Encounters with Jesus. And all throughout this series, we're looking at encounters people had with Jesus described in the Gospel of Mark, the second book in the New Testament. As we dig into these scriptures, I want you to imagine you are in the shoes, or should I say sandals, of these first disciples. Or in the case of today's story, this woman who anoints Jesus with a very costly perfume. And I want us to try to understand what this encounter meant for those who were actually there on that day. And then consider what this encounter can teach us about what it looks like to wholeheartedly follow Jesus. I also want to let you know that today is a special day we call Baptism Sunday. It's an opportunity for people to publicly declare their allegiance to Jesus, to say, I am all in. And in this case, all in means going all in and under water, just like people did in Jesus' day when they chose to commit their lives to him. And I'm excited to let you know that a number of people have already planned in advance to go all in through baptism today. But I also want you to know that if you have yet to be baptized, we would love to help you take that step. So as we walk through this story, my prayer is that you will do what a disciple does. You will hear from God and simply do what he's inviting you to do. And if you sense that he's asking you to be baptized today, then my prayer is that you will do just that. Okay? Before we continue, I want us to pause and pray. Father God, we come to you today, and we're going to dig deep into your scripture of an incredible story of a woman who went all in. And God, my prayer is that we would be open to your Spirit's prompting so that we too could respond and be all in with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we are looking at an encounter with Jesus that took place during the week just before his death. 3 days prior to this encounter, Jesus entered Jerusalem to the sounds of cheering crowds and waving palm branches, which is why this day is called Palm Sunday. While this encounter was in the same week, it was a much quieter moment at a meal in someone's home. Jesus is gathered with his disciples and some religious leaders when something completely unexpected happens. Let's take a look. Meanwhile, Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon, a man who had previously had leprosy. While he was eating, a woman came in with a beautiful alabaster jar of expensive perfume made from essence of nard. Imagine trying to advertise that perfume, essence of nard. Anyway, she broke open the jar and poured the perfume over Jesus' head. Now, there's a lot happening in just this verse, so let's pause for a moment and take a closer look. The nard within this alabaster jar that this woman broke open was incredibly expensive. The value of the oil would have equaled a year's wages. This bottle of perfume was likely passed down to this woman through generations. There's even a good chance it was part of her dowry for marriage. It represented financial stability, social standing. In today's terms, it was like this woman had just emptied out her 401k. It was clearly an extravagant act of worship towards Jesus. And so you would think those who witnessed this would have been inspired by this incredible act, right? But that's not exactly how it went down. Look what happens next. Some of those at the table were indignant. "Why waste such expensive perfume?" they asked. "It could have been sold for a year's wages and the money given to the poor." So they scolded her harshly. A somewhat shocking response, huh? They were indignant? But can you imagine being so consumed with the presence of Jesus like this woman was, that money has lost all value to you? Imagine that. I mean, generosity on that scale is so challenging, isn't it? Giving 10% of our income back to God feels like a big step, and yet this woman goes all in. She gives everything to Jesus. But rather than seeing the significance of the moment, those in the room seem to completely miss the point. And while we might be taken back by their reaction, I wonder if there was something deeper behind this response. In fact, is it possible that maybe we're not so different from them? I mean, let's be honest, okay? When you see someone share a story about a major life change as a result of finding their way back to God, do you ever feel just slightly cynical rather than fully celebrating what a person has experienced? Or maybe when you hear about someone being financially generous or witness someone being openly expressive during worship, do you ever sense just a tinge of maybe comparison creeping in, a feeling of awkwardness or even insecurity? Can I go out on a limb by pointing out something to the men today? In this scene, notice that it's a woman who is ready and willing to go all in for Jesus. Well, the guys in the room seem to lean back and get a little uncomfortable with how openly all in she's actually being in this moment. Here's why I point this out. I would suggest that some of us guys have been leaning back for far too long because we think to ourselves, "I would never do something as undignified and all in as what this woman is doing." Maybe even when it comes to something like baptism, you've thought to yourself, "Well, I would never get into that tub. Soaking wet? No way. Tell everyone I know that I'm all in for Jesus? Raise my hands in worship? Give 10%? That just feels a little too extreme." I couldn't help it. And thinking about this, I was reminded of what happened in January during the Chiefs-Bills playoff game. Do you remember this? When Jason Kelce, the brother of Travis Kelce, yes, Taylor Swift's boyfriend, decided to go all in the skybox. Do you remember that moment? I point this out because, guys, sometimes we do go all in. And if we're willing to go all in for something like football, then certainly we can learn something from this woman who went all in out of her love for Jesus. So the people in the room didn't appreciate what was happening at the time. But how does Jesus respond to this woman and her critics? Jesus replied, "Leave her alone. Why criticize her for doing such a good thing to me? You will always have the poor among you, and you can help them whenever you want to, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. I tell you the truth, wherever the good news is preached throughout the world, this woman's deed will be remembered and discussed." And well, here we are, remembering it and discussing it. Jesus tells the disciples, "The poor will always be with you." Why does he say that? Clearly, the poor matter to Jesus. In fact, Jesus' whole life was spent connecting to those on the margins. The disciples were with Jesus time and again as he modeled how to care for others. I think what Jesus is doing here is challenging his disciples to stop worrying about the logistics. He's calling them out for allowing the poor to become a prop, a means to deflect the power and intensity of this woman's devotion. And if you think about it, this happens today, doesn't it? Especially in politics. You know, instead of viewing people as people, they can end up being used as props to support our platform or agenda. And you know what Jesus says? He says, stop. Stop. Stop using people as props. Pay attention to the devotion of this woman. So, if we want to go all in as disciples of Jesus, what can we learn from this woman's example? What exactly was the woman expressing to Jesus in this encounter? Well, first, the woman recognized who Jesus was, and she was responding with thank you. Thank you. That jar had value. In fact, it was extremely valuable. No one would have expected this woman to bring out this precious bottle of perfume and then break the whole bottle in response to Jesus. But that's exactly what she does. Why? Because she wants to say thank you. Thank you to Jesus. And it's a response of gratitude to who Jesus is and what he's done. And she gives it all. A theologian and New Testament scholar, Morna Hooker, points out, she breaks the jar and pours out everything she has in gratitude to Jesus. And you know, we can respond like this to Jesus too. In the midst of our ordinary lives, we can bring everything we have to Jesus and simply say, thank you. But there's also something a bit mysterious about the woman's response to Jesus. Remember what Jesus said in verse 8? He said, she has done what she could and has anointed my body for burial ahead of time. Some scholars suggest that this woman is the only follower of Jesus who understood the implications of his teachings, that he was actually going to die. And so she seized this opportunity to express her love to him. In that culture, people would typically be anointed after death for their burial. But we know that this story doesn't end with Jesus' death. He would not be anointed for burial after he dies because Jesus defeats death. Instead, the woman anoints Jesus before his death in preparation for what was to come. In this act of love and devotion, the woman also demonstrates her grief that Jesus was going to actually die. That through death, Jesus accomplished what we could not. He made a way for us to be restored into a right relationship with God. And we too, like this woman, can respond to Jesus by saying, I'm sorry. I'm sorry you agonized on the cross for me. I'm sorry for not fully following you. We can acknowledge whatever it is that's keeping us from being all in for the one who gave his life for us and repent for not giving him our complete devotion. There's one more way this woman responded to Jesus. Her act of anointing, it would have been familiar to those who watched this encounter. In fact, it would have carried great significance. In the Old Testament, if you were to become king, it was a common practice for a prophet to anoint you with oil as a sign that you had been set apart for this task. The action said something about both the person performing the anointing and the person being anointed. This woman acts with bold faith and with authority given to her by God to publicly proclaim Jesus as Messiah. She was saying to Jesus, you are my King. Church family, this right here is what all-in devotion looks like. When we truly encounter Jesus, we can't help but respond with overwhelming gratitude and we say thank you. We acknowledge anything that's keeping us from complete devotion to Jesus and we say, I am sorry. And finally, we give him our full allegiance when we say, Jesus, you are my King. If you can say those words with conviction, would you repeat them after me? Thank you. I'm sorry. You are my King. I mentioned earlier that today is Palm Sunday, the day that starts what we call Holy Week, when Jesus entered Jerusalem for the last time. His arrival in the city is known as the triumphal entry because he was welcomed as a conquering king. Crowds waving palm branches, people laying their garments on the ground and shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." It was just 5 days before Jesus would be crucified, 7 days before he would overcome death and bring resurrection life to all of mankind. And in between the excitement of Palm Sunday and Jesus' death on Friday were the actions of this woman declaring her all-in faith in the one true King of Kings, her Messiah and Savior, Jesus. But I got to confess, had I been there to witness the actions of this woman, I can't help but wonder, would I have been like the men in that room who seemed to play it safe, held back, and thought what she did was just way over the top? Maybe. But I also have to believe she might have been thinking some of the, you know, same thoughts that hold me back from going all in at times. People might think I'm crazy. Like, maybe I'm taking this Jesus stuff a bit too far. And then what if I do go all in and I blow it, you know, again, fail, fall on my face? Then people just think it was all a charade. Besides all that, going all in like that, it doesn't really fit me. I hardly do anything impulsively. I'm way more calculated than that. But apparently, this woman didn't care about her reputation. She wasn't concerned about what others would say. You know what? I think at that moment, all she saw was Jesus. She saw him and recognized, here is her Savior, her friend and King. And she wants to break the jar, the most valuable and precious thing she has, and she wants to give it to him because that's how much she loves him. Here's the deal. Earlier, we told you that this is Baptism Sunday. And I believe that for some here today, your baptism could be your break the jar moment. This could be your time to just get a little crazy and undignified. I mean, anybody who's been baptized will tell you there's nothing impressive about getting dunked in public. It is a break-the-jar moment. And, you know, you may have some of the same fears or reservations about getting baptized that this woman may have had about breaking that jar. What will people think? Isn't this just a little over the top? I mean, what if I get baptized and still struggle with the same stuff that's been holding me back for years? Look, baptism doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't make you perfect. As a matter of fact, it just means that you know you're not. Hear me on this. In the same way, a broken bottle of perfume was a way for this woman to say that she was going all in for Jesus, you taking this step of baptism is a way for you to say you are all in for Jesus. And this is not about you doing something to earn your way into God's good graces. There's nothing you could do to earn his love. He loves you as you are, and he simply wants you. The Apostle Paul writes this about baptism. We were therefore buried with him, buried with Jesus, through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You know, I was 10 years old when I was baptized. I will never forget it. And sure, life has been a lot more complicated after my baptism than it was before. I was only 10. But you know what? It is a moment where I can look back and know that with all the courage a 10-year-old could ever muster, I walked down the aisle of my home church and broke the jar. I was baptized and declared that I was going all in. And you know what? It was my way of saying to Jesus, thank you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. I'm sorry that my sin put you on the cross, and I no longer want to be king of my own life. I want you to be my king. So how about you? Are you ready to say thank you? I'm sorry. You are my king. Today can be your day. You want a new life? Are you ready to break the jar? To go all in? Let today be that day.
We hope you were encouraged and challenged by today's message. Our mission is to help you find your way back to God. And by listening today, you've already taken your first step. And we'd love to help you take a next step in your relationship with God, the church, and the world. It's how we're all embracing the flourishing life that Jesus talks about, a life we call U+. Visit communitychristian.org to take a next step, learn more, give generously, and plan your visit. We hope to see you on a Sunday soon.